Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That is me, along with Captain Patrick and Boat Show Girl, rounding out the crew today. Possibly Rusty is going to join us. He has not been blown away by Hurricane Irma, Jose, or what's the other one? Maria.
The Jaguars.
Okay. There's that. But he may join us. I think he's really just kind of busy trying to make up for lost time. So we'll see. So, yeah, this is our first get-together after Hurricane Irma created havoc here at World of Boating Broadcast Headquarters.
Yeah, actually, if you had been following Rusty and his pictures, I want to give him all the credit in the world because he has, I think, invented the first not only drive-up boat dealership, but drive-through.
He went through an upgrade.
A boat dealership.
He went through an upgrade with Hurricane Irma.
Because the water was so high on Doctor's Lake, you could have driven a boat through his dealership.
Okay. But has it receded, or is he going to make this part of the new, you know, Jacksonville Marine presentation?
Well, it has receded. However, the St. John's River, by whatever quirk of nature, physics, or insert whatever science-based propaganda you would like, flows from south to north. So all that storm water that hit South Florida is still moving northward up to St. John's, which will then eventually exit out Port of Jacksonville.
Okay. So it could be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. Well, he has to figure out what he's going to do with all that extra water. That might be a good thing for him. You never
know. I would start bottling it.
Okay, you could do that. You could consider that nonsense. It'd be the first pun. You know, look, that's your advice. Has he ever taken that in the past?
No.
Of course. So, you know.
But let me point out, if he had, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars I would have saved him.
Okay. But yeah, that would have been, you know, less material for the World of Boating.
That's true.
So we are going to connect with him at some point during the show.
You think?
I think. I got a text. He said, go ahead and call me. I'm still at the dealership. I can't hook up right now. You know, broadcast terms.
Wait, did he say he can't hook up right now, or he's hooking up right now?
No,
he can't talk to you.
No, he can't. He said, call him. Well, he said, you can talk to me on my cell phone. So we'll reach out to him here in just a bit. But we got Boat Show Girl with us. How are you, Karen?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Now, you, well, you and us, we were affected quite a bit here from Hurricane Irma, because you're in the Tampa area, we're in Orlando. It came right up between us, but obviously you're here today, so you fared Hurricane Irma okay, or what?
Yeah, I mean, it was really weird. Like, my area, or my duplex house, my side of the apartment, and my neighbors, we never lost electricity throughout the whole thing.
What?
No damage, nothing, just like trees down, tree limbs and stuff.
Yeah.
Half of my town at Gulfport was fine. So, you know, we were very, very lucky.
Well, you were, because we lost power here in at headquarters for 3 full days. What about you, Patrick? What about at your home? Were you okay, or did you lose power and stuff, or no?
For about 23 hours, 15 minutes, 7 seconds, but I really wasn't counting.
Yeah. Okay. So you lost for a day. I was 3 days. And you didn't call me and said, hey, I have an AC. Why don't you come on over here?
You didn't have any electricity. How would I have called you?
I have cell phones. My cell phone worked fine, you big dummy. Now you say that. Right. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after 3 days, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm getting the hell out of here. So I left for the left coast after 3 days of no AC. See, that's what kills you after a hurricane. In Orlando, we're, you know, far inland. So even if a storm comes through, the chances of us being affected other than losing power aren't massive. compared to coastal cities. However, you know, we had the same thing as Boat Show Girl. We had some down limbs and the power went off, but it went off for 3 days.
Hello.
And that's what kills you.
Hurricane Charlie
knocked the power out for a few days.
I lost my roof.
Okay.
That was a direct hit, man. I mean, that came right at, I mean, right up at us, center. I mean,
right, but
from south
but
to north.
What was the big problem with that? Yeah, you can put the tarp
over
the roof.
I lost my roof. That was the big problem.
Right, but you can replace the roof, but you can't replace AC. And when you don't have AC, you know, the first day, you're like, okay, there's still a little breeze. Second day, the storm is out of our area, and all of a sudden it starts to get hot. Third day, you're like, oh, hell. Oh, no, don't. You did not say that. And then you start bickering with your neighbors and yelling and getting a little flustered. You hear what I'm saying?
I do. And I have what I think could be a multi-million dollar hurricane survival kit idea for the next one, if we're ever faced with this again. And what you need is...
a fan?
No. Close.
Yeah.
But a panel so that when you roll down your car window, this panel would fit in its place. And then you could turn your car AC on, and there would be an AC duct hose that you could run into your house from your car. So you could just run your car and run the AC unit and get some relief.
Okay. Or you get a generator and a portable AC unit.
And really upset all your neighbors.
Like that? You think there were other folks in my neighborhood that weren't doing that?
Not with your homeowners association.
Oh, no, they were. We had at least, I bet we had six to ten generators going off in the neighborhood for a few days there.
Oh, I would have been pulling
now the
plugs
upside
left and right.
The upside was it's the first time that I know of where I was able to walk around my neighborhood and see the stars like I was out on a boat in the middle of the ocean, because there was no electricity and the stars were there. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, as bad as you think,
I did go away mentally on a boat.
As bad as you think you had it here, my dad lives on Marco Island, on the water.
Yeah.
And my brother lives in Naples, which is just outside of Marco Island. But that was ground zero for the second landfall.
Yeah. Not good for them, I'm guessing.
Well, my dad had his house built. You know, he's got one of those push a button and it closes up like a bank vault type of deal.
Sweet.
And he had a generator installed as part of the construction of the house, which runs off propane. So, they had power and air conditioning. He did lose his pool enclosure. But the storm surge, and here's something that we really should talk about, because this is something that I hadn't planned on or thought about with the approach of the hurricane. And that was all the water getting sucked out of all of the bays in advance of Irma coming. Yeah. So we were getting phone calls at the factory. How do I prepare my boat? What should I do? You know, of course, it's like, should I leave it in the water? It's like, no, because I'm thinking storm surge. This storm surge comes in. It's 10 foot.
Right.
You're going to lose your boat.
Mm-hmm.
However, for people who left their boats tied to their docks and whatnot, when all that water got sucked out, those boats were left hanging, which caused damage unto itself.
You were right.
Well, was right in that you should definitely try to get the boat out of the water as high as you can in advance, but I hadn't really ever thought about the water level dropping as drastically as it did.
Yeah.
I was thinking the opposite, and on Marco, the storm surge didn't come in as high as they had expected.
But it still drained the water out
Drained the water out, and then when the storm surge came in, it was about 3 feet over the seawall, only made it about halfway up towards my dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
So, fortunately, could have been a lot worse, but I know there was a dealership down in Goodland. The only thing left standing was a ship store. Everything else, dry stack buildings, everything wiped off the face of this earth.
Mm. I know Rusty had his hands full at Jacksonville Marine, so we're going to reach out to him, find out what's going on. My plan was to stay here, but then after 3 days and no AC, I said, no, I'm leaving. So I went out and became a boater out in California, in Catalina Island for a week.
So you left your family here, though?
Yeah, of course. After three days of no AC and the hurricane rage starting to kick in, they're like, get the hell out of here! And so I did, but I became a boater. And matter of fact, I documented it on video, Patrick. I have witnesses to say that I was indeed the captain of the vessel. And I got two witnesses that now are willing to say publicly that Greg your first mate is an official boater, and all this nonsense about you and Bill and everybody giving me grief about not being a real boater. They said, no, that's not true. He really is. He did quite a few boating skills, including running the dinghy back and forth on his own and tying up and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, I'd surprise myself.
Congratulations. You've done what every 10-year-old that lives on the coast
well,
of
they
the
are
United
boaters,
States can
too.
Do.
We are all boaters. We were one big boating family. And now I can proudly say, despite your teases that I'm not a boater, that I am indeed a boater.
All right. Well,
so in your face, loser.
Next week, I come in with my plotting gear, a paper chart, and a series of 10 questions.
Oh, no. You can't change the goal post now. I am a boater. I got witnesses. That's all she wrote, at least for now. More coming up on The World of Boating.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters, you know there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water, but what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with The World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Man, I gotta give me one of these bad boys.
The upkeep alone would cost you millions. You gotta crew it, maintain it, gas it. This thing drinks 5 gallons a mile.
Joe knows boats.
That I do.
I wish that we could sail our sad days away forever in deep blue seas of paper mache.
Let's dance in the moonlight.
We join the yacht club.
This is The World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That is me. Along with Captain Patrick, Boat Show Girl, and now Captain Rusty from Jacksonville Marine is on the phone.
Yay, Captain Rusty.
Yay, yay, he exists. He was not blown away. He did not have to relocate, but he did have some issues.
I still think he's a myth.
You think? Well,
I know.
Right. That is possible. We don't see him in the flesh very often, so.
No.
But you are still there. You still exist.
We are.
So you got to give us the lowdown. What happened with you when it comes to Hurricane Irma?
So we weren't expecting, really anything much. We thought we've had high water before. It comes through the door and doesn't get any higher. So watching the news, they go, storm surge, they predicted like 2 to 4 feet, which we've had worse than that last year. Mm-hmm. So I really wasn't overly concerned. Our staff here, Vicky and some others, had taken precautions and put everything up on the desk and raised everything up, you know, out of the way. And I came up here the next morning, and in the water, I don't know if y'all saw pictures on Facebook, it's literally about two and a half feet deep from the beginning of the store all the way out the back door.
Oh, boy.
Completely flooded all the way in and out the back. No power, no water, you know, just it was a mess. And that's that river muck, you know, that just gets on the floor.
Funky.
Yeah, it stinks. It was really bad.
So that was way higher than you expected, or
you were way higher.
Okay.
We've never, I think since, excuse me, worst flood since 1942.
Really? Highest flood since 1942 for Jacksonville?
I mean, 1842. Yes.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, you were expecting 2 to 4, but it went up to what, you figure? Or do you know?
They said the storm surge that hit Jacksonville and was equivalent to a Category 3 hurricane, what the storm surge would be.
Yeah.
What had happened is the winds were blowing, they were blowing in towards the south,
yeah,
and southwest. And so it was blowing all the water into the St. John's River. And it continued. And we had strong winds even the day before the hurricane hit. And so it wouldn't let the water out of the river. And the more the storm water came in, it just didn't have anywhere to exit. It kept backing it up. So we had substantial flooding. Downtown Jacksonville had substantial flooding. If you were a boat dealer along the St. John's River, then you had some pretty hefty damage. Some of my other marinas in the area, they don't even have a date of when they're going to be opened again. So,
well, you have power back now, right? You're all back to normal almost?
No, we did good. We called or texted everybody. Within about 4 hours after the water got out of the building, everybody was actually here. We brought in generators. We pulled water from other buildings across the parking lot. They didn't know we borrowed their water, but, you know, we had to. And so we got it cleaned up in about 4.5 days. They're still going to come in and, of course, take the sheetrock off the walls up about 3 feet and through the whole building, cut all the sheetrock out, you know, dry it out, whatever they have to do. But we're open. We're doing good.
You having an after-hurricane party today?
No.
Or
well, we have,
sale?
But, you know, we got some hurricane sales, you know. But, you know, we were actually lucky. No boats were damaged at all. So the wind wasn't a factor for us. It was only the water. What we lost was some furniture, you know, as far as parts, stuff like that. We did have two motors that the water got really close to that were in crates. But those are okay. So really fortunate. And I do want to say this. I want to say that Volvo Penta has been the most out of ever vendor that we deal with or ever manufacturer. They have been top notch through the whole thing.
Why is that? What do they do?
Every day. They call me every day.
Yeah.
And they call, want to know what they can do, if they can help. Then the guy calls and first wants to know, you know, they said they'll send somebody down to help us clean up. I go, well, fine.
Well, that's nice.
Next day they call and they go, can we send you supplies or anything like that? I said, no, we're really good. I said, send them to South Florida. They need it. You know, we're good. South Florida's not.
Yeah.
I said, send them there. And then they called yesterday and go, say, we just want to, you know, we know you've had a rough time. We want to send you guys lunch next week. Where can we send it to? Volvo Penta has been amazing.
You're welcome, Rusty.
Well, thank you. I've been so impressed. And we're not like a big-time Volvo Penta dealer. We're, you know, whether we're here or not, it makes no difference to them, I'm sure, in their big scheme of things. But
I had exchanged emails with Tony Kelleher at Volvo Penta and put you on the list.
Well, thank you, because they have. I've been really impressed with them. Really impressed.
Well, that's nice. That's good that they're trying to take care of their dealers and stuff like that. That's what you should do if you can help.
Well, they have a vested interest.
Well, of course they do. But, I mean, that's a good way to show some support. Give them just a little bit of something. Say, just knowing that they're thinking of you means something in a situation
really
like that.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, it wasn't one call. We had a few people that would just call just to making sure you're doing okay. That was fine. The one that just didn't really set well was one of the floor plan companies that wanted to come do an inventory check, you know, when we're trying to clean up. And they do that once a month. And I get it, you know, that's what they do. But it's when they do a floor plan check, and you're going, this really is a bad time.
Oh, I could guess which one that one was.
And I'm not going to say it. You understand. It's a little
insensitive.
Yeah, and right. I told him, I said, really, you guys, I hope you're not going to South Florida. These guys don't even know where their boats are in South Florida.
Right.
Give them a little time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mess down there, especially south of Seven Mile Bridge. Oh, geez. I've gotten some bad reports.
So, really?
We're still waiting. You know, we're going to have to wait another week before we start hearing the real world numbers and things. But I have a feeling it's not going to be too good. Everything north of Seven Mile Bridge, they seem to be bouncing back pretty quick. But south, they got whacked good. I've been getting mixed messages from some of my contacts down there. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm thinking of them. And, we'll see. Hopefully they'll manage one way or another. It may just take much longer than the folks north of that area. You know,
there are stories coming out to where, I mean, of course, now you start focusing on the tourism aspect. And, you know, question is tourism going to return? And the answer is yes, of course it is.
Eventually.
But the bigger question is tourism isn't going to return until the infrastructure is back in place. And as far as running, whether it's a fishing charter or scuba trips or things of that nature, if boats have been damaged in any way, shape, or form, that's not going to occur until those boats are back up and running or have been replaced.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them already are operating, but they have no customers to serve for the reason that they won't let them go down there yet. So more coming up on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Boat Show Girl, and Captain Rusty at Jacksonville Marine. Now, he has to get back to, making up for some lost time and sell some boats there. So we're going to let him go here in just a bit. But you got everything put back together there at the dealership. And you're planning a trip down to the Keys yourself.
I am. It's one of the things me and Josh and Caleb, and I don't know if Josh will get to go, we planned this back 7 months ago. We're going to Key West and, just want to do some things. And so, but, typical tourist vacation. I've got a hotel at the Margaritaville Hotel right there near Mallory Square. And, and then this happened. And so wasn't sure if we'd get to go, but actually the hotel called a couple of nights ago, wanted to know if we were still coming. And I said, definitely,
Wow, okay.
I want to.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, like I said, that's what I've been hearing, mixed messages from folks south of Seven Mile Bridge. I mean, there's some properties, obviously, that are not affected as much. And if they're telling you to come on down, they obviously have power and beds and stuff ready to go. Yet I hear other things that they're not even letting tourists into the Keys still yet.
Well, the only bad thing about Rusty's reservation is his hotel room is now in Homestead.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'm thinking when I go, and it's not going to be the tourist trip that maybe we were talking about, but if I can do a fishing charter or whatever, put money back into the economy. Those people I know are hurting for work or to do things, and anything we can do, to help out will be great. And, and listen to them, because I listened to the Keys radio for a little while the past couple of weeks, just they're talking about things happening. Trying to get a real sense of what's going on. And, it seems like they're getting back. Now, the tourism side, if you go to their site, they say that the Keys are officially open until October 20th for Fantasy Fest. And that's the date they're pushing. But, I think that other people doesn't want to wait quite that long.
Right. Well, that's the thing. The people that weren't affected and have power and are open, though, are now getting hit hard because they have no customers.
Right.
And
right.
So by doing what you're doing, Rusty, is the best way you can show your support. Maybe throw in some, water or call them up and find out, hey, what do the local charities need? And that kind of thing,
sure.
Too, would be a good plan. But good stuff indeed. That's how you can support, is just go down and support them with your spending dollars.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Looks like one ship was saved today, a relationship.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Boat Show Girl, rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest boating news and information. That includes the Ibex show that Boat Show Girl was at this past week. And we're going to get a full report about that from her in just a few moments. But I guess we got to talk about me because that's why we're here. Right, Patrick?
Says you.
Yeah.
And but Greg, I just want you to know, I fully support you, so I want to throw my support and support the things that you support.
Yep.
In a supporting manner.
Okay.
So this is my official support of your supporting support.
Is that a $20 bill? Because I prefer 50s.
Yeah, but you like them tucked in a certain area, and I'm not doing it.
come on. Where's your sense of humor?
It's not a sense of humor. It's a sense of adventure, which I don't have.
It's a sense of decency. Anyway, regardless, I appreciate it, and I appreciate your support. And moving on, I was in Catalina. I had enough of being in Florida and hurricanes and stuff, and I said, no, I'm leaving.
Didn't you just go to Catalina like 2 months ago?
That was, what, June? I went there, and it was too cold to scuba dive, and the warmest month of the year to dive in Catalina off the coast of California is the month of September. And so the guys that I was out with before said, hey, you know, you're dealing with this hurricane stuff. You have no AC. Why don't you hop on a plane and come on out here? We'll go spend a week diving. And I was like, you know what? I may have overheated enough here without AC to actually tolerate the cold waters of California. And so I took them up on their offer and hightailed it out there. And we went and lived on a boat for a week. And cruised around the island of Catalina. And it was just phenomenal. And yes, I scuba dived. Yes, I ran the dinghy back and forth from shore by myself, solo, tying it up, having to know what to do, know what the protocols and proper etiquette was as far as tying your dinghy up to the dock and all that kind of stuff. There's a whole thing that you have to...
Really?
Yeah.
Please, tell me more, because having only been in the industry since I was 18... and been around boats since I was 11. I have no idea what it is you're
talking about. California dinghy etiquette, and then there might be Florida dinghy etiquette. I don't know.
Well, the only difference with California dinghy etiquette is you say dude at the end of everything.
Which I did. I say, yo, dude, can I tie up right here? Yeah, dude, what's up? Cool. And I fit right in.
There you go.
But yeah, the dinghy was a 12 or 13-foot Boston Whaler, and I guess that's the largest considered dinghy, is that right? There's evidently a limit to what they allow to be considered a dinghy to tie up to the dock. It can't be over like 13 feet.
That's based at the marina you're at, but dinghies themselves don't have or aren't necessarily limited to any size.
But in Catalina, I'm just
I know? I haven't been to Catalina.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The etiquette in California is different than other places, or at least in Catalina, they have a 13-foot dinghy limit.
Do they come out and measure?
Well, I guess their dockmaster can come out and they get the hell off my dock.
I mean, I guess I can see you don't want pleasure boats coming in and taking up space.
And they got a bunch of them. Most of them are, inflatables and those type. But this was a rigid hull a fiberglass Boston Whaler, 13-foot. Mm-hmm. So it was the biggest that we allowed. And he specifically got that size because he knew what the limits were in Catalina. And that's what he uses as a dinghy.
Was this the center console?
It was
outboard tiller control.
Yeah, outboard tiller. Yeah, it was the same one that last time I went out on it, and the gear went out right by the exhaust jets of the Catalina Express.
Yeah,
and I also almost had the flesh burned away from my bones in front of hundreds of people, spectators watching, that were just thinking it was part of a show, that they're a welcoming show to Catalina Island. Like, this is awesome.
But surprisingly, absolutely no video exists anywhere.
There is some, and I've paid off the appropriate parties, so it doesn't go public, at least for, you know, the next week or so. Anyway, it was a great time. And I did some boating. I did man the dinghy. I actually ran the boat, the 52-foot liveaboard that we were on for a little while as well.
Yeah, I know. You said you did that the last time you were there, too. And then CJ and your buddy that was out there kind of completely discounted everything it was that
you said. We gave CJ the wheel and let him handle things for about 20 minutes before we told him the boat was on autopilot. He was looking at it like, gosh, you know, I'm doing really good.
The wheel's a little stiff.
Yeah. It was hilarious. But no, I actually ran it. I actually stood up there and was watch out and make sure we didn't run into any oil tankers and things like that.
Always a good thing.
Yeah.
Clean
the heads.
You would have had more of a chance of hitting a whale than an oil tanker, unfortunately.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see any whales, but I did see oil tankers. Quite a few of them.
You see, you would see oil tank. What I was getting at is you would have a greater chance of hitting a whale because whales would be either just beneath the surface or they would just start to break the surface of the water and then it's too late for you to do anything and you wind up hitting them.
Yeah. But I was kelp diving. You know, and the kelp is like, you know, the great forest. You know, what is the redwood forest on the land? It's like underwater. This stuff is like, you know, 40 feet long, 50 feet long from the ocean surface all the way to the, it's amazing to see and dive with that stuff.
Did you do a parody of the Beatles song Help during the Dima show when you guys dressed up at the Beatles? Was it
there
kelp?
There is a chance that
you did kelp.
Happened. Yeah. Yeah. That might be airing on Scuba Radio today, actually. But it was a good time. And so I did my first.
So what's the draw of diving in kelp? You can't see anything.
No, it's like diving through a forest because, you know, you dive through the
I'll take you out on Lake Conway. We'd do the same thing.
No, it's not the same.
It most certainly is.
No, it's not the same. It's a totally thing. Very California thing to do. And it's very, very rewarding. Very cool. Literally and figuratively. But it was something. So, you know, I got video and everything. I'll show you that and stuff. And we're going to be talking about that on Scuba Radio today. So if you want more information about what it's like to dive in Catalina, listen to Scuba Radio. We got 2 hours nonstop adventure for that kind of stuff. But let's talk about what Boat Show Girl's been up to because, you know, after she survived Hurricane Irma, she was planning to do the Tampa Boat Show. That got postponed, as we talked about last week, till middle of October. However, the Ibex show, which happened this early, where was Ibex, by the way? Where was it?
It was at the Tampa Convention Center.
Oh, that was in Tampa, too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you went to Ibex, which is the International Boat Builders Exhibitors. Like that. What is it? Do you know what is it stand for again? International Boat Builders, I know. What is the E and the X?
I don't know what the X is.
Exhibitionists? We'll go with something like that. Anyway, it's a big trade show for people that get together and supply the industry for stuff to make boats. Boat builders, right?
Yep.
So it's kind of like, you know, it's not like a regular boat show. It's definitely an insider industry thing. Like if you you want a new turlet for your vessel. They'll have all the new manufacturers that make boating toilets, heads. They'll be there, right? And they were out in force, I bet, weren't they?
Yeah.
So you were there as Boat Show Girl, covering it. What did you see other than toilets?
Well, I got my chance to talk to one of the Volvo guys, and because I was wanting to find out about Seven Marine, since that's my favorite engine, and I'm just like, nobody better mess this up. So I said to the guy, I said, what do you plan on doing with Seven Marine? And the answer that I really got was, they plan on keeping it the separate brand and just building on it and making sure it stays the same but gets better, you know, as technology moves on. So they don't plan on, like, getting rid of the brand per se. So.
All right. That's a good thing.
And,
but that is what you had predicted as well, though, right, Patrick?
Yeah, about 2 months ago when I bought that story. But what it does, Volvo Penta got out of outboards in 79, and with the increase in outboards coming into the marketplace, they're losing market share to Evinrude, Johnson, Yamaha, Honda, Tohatsu. So they needed a ready-made entity to get back in by purchasing 7 Marine. They've got a product that's pretty much ready to go. 7 Marine's able to take care of Volvo Penta's worldwide distribution, and it gives Volvo Penta's engineers an opportunity to start to create a line of outboards smaller in size to be able to supply boat manufacturers with.
Got it. That's what they said to you, right, Bocho Girl?
Well, in a little less words.
Yes.
No.
Much more economically on the verbiage, I would imagine. But yeah, I get it. You're filling in between the lines, Patrick. That's what he does. And that's good. Okay, we'll follow up with Bocho Girl, find out what else she saw at Ibex. And we got some viewer mail here at the World of Boating as well. That's coming up next. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me, or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Are you physically fit enough to scuba dive? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few ways to know for sure next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
You should check with your physician before starting a new activity and know you're ready for the physical fitness requirements for diving. Here's just one real-world activity test to consider. 1. Walk on land for 100 feet in your scuba gear. 2. Ascend a 5-foot vertical ladder from the water in same gear. And 3. Swim underwater in gear at half a knot for 30 minutes and just over double that for 3 minutes. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
It was just an old plywood boat, the 75 Johnson, electric choke. A young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel. And I would turn her sharp knot, make it whine, he'd say. You can't beat the way an old wood boat rides. Just a little lake across the Alabama line, but I was king of the ocean when Daddy let me drive.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick. Boat Show Girl rounding out the crew today. Okay, so she just got back from the Ibex show. And Karen, I don't know, what was the deal? Volvo Penta, you had a little chat with them. What else did you see there? Anything else worth, you know, reporting back to the crew today as far as Ibex?
Yeah, so one of my favorite products, which is Sure Shade. So I finally got to meet the owner and got to see them preview or got a preview of their product and how it works and stuff.
Well, what so is it? What is a Sure Shade? I don't know.
Additional shade for your boat, pretty much like put on a bimini top.
Okay, all right.
Actually, the complete opposite of what she just said.
It's not a bimini top. It just covers up the boat.
No,
like for storage.
Sure Shade is it's a canvas shade that is designed to extend and retract, usually into hard tops.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay.
It's like a bimini top.
No, it's automated. Not. It has nothing. It is nothing like a bimini top. It comes. It slides out on telescoping rods straight out.
Yeah.
Okay. And is usually designed to provide shade over the aft end of boats. However, something that should be noted with Sure Shade is you are not to run the boat when the Sure Shade is extended, because what will happen is when we'll get up underneath that canvas and it will rip it all to shreds.
It'll create a sail. It'll be like having a sailboat.
No, it will not. It'll back like a parachute. And then
that'd be even cooler.
Then when you try to claim warranty on it, Sure Shade and the boat manufacturer are going to go, nope.
Yeah, okay. Well, still, I mean, it's a cool way to modify your boat to create some more shade when you're out on the water, especially if you just want to hang.
Why are you even going out on the water? I mean, the whole idea behind going out, you might as well just stay in your house with air conditioning. Well, the whole idea behind getting out on the water is to enjoy the water, to enjoy nature, the sunshine.
In the shade.
No.
You don't want to, you know, break out with blisters and turn into skin cancer, so I'm a fan. All right, so anything else there, Karen? What do you think?
That's what they invented sunscreen for.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit closer to what, I as Boat Show Girl will be doing. I talked to several different people, and the school that was there is actually interested in an idea I have. So I don't want to say too much more, but I'm one step closer.
To being officially Boat Show Girl, sponsored by so-and-so or something, maybe.
Something of that nature.
All right. I tell you, a cape and tights and a mask are in her future. It's going to happen.
It is disturbing how hard you keep pushing that.
I'm just saying. They're gonna pick up on this. And
disturbing.
They're going to go, yeah, just put our sponsorship logo on it, and it's a done deal, and you know, we will provide the wind beneath her wings.
Bordering on stalking.
No, not at all. All right, real quick before we round up today's virtual cruise for the latest boating news and information, we got time for one viewer mail from Savannah. This is, she says, I recently found The World of Boating. Curious if you have any episodes or recommendations for restoring a boat, specifically smaller closed hull fiberglass boats. I've inherited a sentimental family boat that I will be transporting from the Midwest to the West, and would like to know what I should consider as far as types of repairs needed before hauling.
Have no idea, because I know nothing about this boat. However, I can tell you that a proper inspection of the stringers, the floor, and the transom would be critical before determining whether it's even worth restoring. Because if all you've got is a fiberglass shell, and you're going to need to restringer the boat, you're going to need to put a new floor in it, you're going to need to put transom in it, you may want to rethink that. This happened.
What about just for hauling it? She wants to know, is it safe to even haul from the Midwest out to the West Coast?
Again, I have no idea what this boat looks like.
Well,
I don't know.
Small closed hull fiberglass boat. So if there's
what kind of things
like fiberglass in the hull would be like signs like, hey, this may not be towable right now.
When you put it on a trailer and it starts pushing the hull up through the floor.
Well, could you see anything? Would it be discoloration, cracks,
it wouldn't really be anything like that. What you would want to look at is your tie-down points on the boat, your stern eyes and your bow eye.
Yeah.
And are those solid? Or when you start to put a strap on them, are they starting to pull out of the boat?
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Is it an outboard? Is the is the transom solid? You don't want to be transporting the thing down the road and the engine falls off because the transom's rotted.
Yeah, that would be bad.
So again, I will go back to checking the boat and verifying the strength of the stringers, the floor, and the transom would be paramount.
So yank on them a little bit
before I did anything with any boat. I would be looking at that.
Yeah. Now, where the boat rests on the pads of a trailer, let's say it's because it's a small boat, so it's a trailer boat. I mean, if you saw some stuff on the hull, like cracks or discoloration of the fiberglass, is that any sign of wear that you might be concerned with before
cracking on fiberglass is not necessarily something that denotes that the structure itself or the unit itself is bad. However, if it's sitting on a trailer on the bunks and the bunks are pushing up into the bottom of the boat, into the hull structure itself, and causing it to look deformed, that would be a sure sign that you may have an issue and you may want to rethink transporting that boat.
So go to your local boating dealership in the area, have them take a look at it for you, throw them a $50 bill, maybe they'll give
have a quick survey or inspection done before you take the boat across country.
There you go. All right, hopefully that helps, Savannah. And we'll end it on that note. A more positive note than starting off with news about Hurricane Irma and her effects on us and our boating friends. But we'll all get through it, and as we have, and look at brighter days. On that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, whether it is sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.